Lesson 11. Text. Selling the Post. 1. Russell Baker. I began working in journalism when I was 8 years old. It was my mother's idea. She wanted me to make something of myself, and after a level-headed appraisal of my strengths, decided I had better start young if I was to have any chance of keeping up with the competition. The flaw in my character, which she had already spotted, was lack of gumption. My idea of a perfect afternoon was lying in front of the radio, rereading one of my favorite big little book, Dick Tracy Meets Stooge Viller. My mother despised inactivity. Seeing me having a good time pose, she was powerless to hide her disgust. "You've got no more gumption than a bump on a log," she said. "Get help Doris do the dirty dishes." My sister Doris, though 2 years younger than I, had enough gumption for a dozen people. She positively enjoyed washing dishes, making beds, and cleaning the house. When she was only 7, she could carry a piece of short-weighted cheese back to the A&P, threaten the manager with legal action, and come back triumphantly with the full quarter pound we'd paid for and a few ounces extra thrown in for forgiveness. Doris could have made something of herself if she hadn't been a girl. Because of this defect, however, the best she could hope for was a career as a nurse or school teacher, the only work that capable females were considered up to in those days. This must have saddened my mother. The twist of fate that had allocated all the gumption to the daughter and left her with a son who was content with Dick Tracy and Stooge Viller. If disappointed, though, she wasted no energy on self-pity. She would make me make something of myself, whether I wanted to or not. "The Lord helps those who help themselves," she said. That was the way her mind worked. She was realistic about the difficulty. Having sized up the material the Lord had given her to mold, she didn't overestimate what she could do with it. She didn't insist that I grow up to be the President of the United States. 50 years ago, parents still asked boys if they wanted to grow up to be president, and asked it not jokingly, but seriously. Many parents who were hardly more than paupers still believed their sons could do it. Abraham Lincoln had done it. We were only 65 years from Lincoln. Many a grandfather who walked among us could remember Lincoln's time. Men of grandfatherly age were the worst for asking if you wanted to grow up to be president. A surprising number of little boys said yes and meant it. I was asked many times myself. No, I would say, I didn't want to grow up to be president. My mother was present during one of these interrogations. An elderly uncle, having posed the usual question and exposed my lack of interest in the presidency, asked, "Well, what do you want to do when you grow up?" I love to pick through trash piles and collect empty bottles, tin cans with pretty labels, and discarded magazines. The most desirable job on earth sprang instantly to my mind. I want to be a garbage man, I said. My uncle smiled. But my mother had seen the first distressing evidence of a bump budding on a log. Have a little gumption, Russell, she said. Her calling me Russell was a signal of unhappiness. When she approved of me, I was always Buddy. When I turned 8 years old, the job of starting me on the road toward making something of myself could no longer be safely delayed. Buddy, she said one day, I want you to come home right after school this afternoon. Somebody's coming, and I want you to meet him. When I burst in that afternoon, she was in conference in the parlor with an executive of the Curtis Publishing Company. Kissed me. He bent low from the waist and shook my hand. Was it true, as my mother had told him, he asked, that I longed for the opportunity to conquer the world of business? My mother replied that I was blessed with a rare determination to make something of myself. That's right, I whispered. But have you got the grit, the character, the never-say-quit spirit it takes to succeed in business? That I certainly did. That's right, I said. He eyed me silently for a long pause, as though weighing whether I could be trusted to keep his confidence, then spoke man to man. Before taking a crucial step, he said, he wanted to tell me that working for the Curtis Publishing Company placed enormous responsibility on a young man. It was one of the great companies of America, perhaps the greatest publishing house in the world. I had heard, no doubt, of the Saturday Evening Post. Heard of it? My mother said that everyone in our house had heard of the Saturday Evening Post, and that I, in fact, read it with religious devotion. Then doubtless, he said, we were also familiar with those two monthly pillars of the magazine world, the Ladies' Home Journal and the Country Gentleman. Indeed, we were familiar with them, my mother said. Representing the Saturday Evening Post was one of the weightiest honors that could be bestowed in the world, he said. He was personally proud of being a part of that great corporation. My mother said he had every right to be. Again, he studied me as though debating whether I was worthy of a knighthood. Finally, are you trustworthy? My mother said I was the soul of honesty. That's right, I said. The caller smiled for the first time. He told me I was a lucky young man. He admired my spunk. Too many young men thought life was all play. Those young men would not go far in this world. Only a young man willing to work and save and keep his face washed and his hair neatly combed could hope to come out on top in a world such as ours. Did I truly and sincerely believe that I was such a young man? He certainly does, said my mother. That's right, I said. He said he had been so impressed by what he has seen of me that he was going to make me a representative of the Curtis Publishing Company. On the following Tuesday, he said, 30 freshly printed copies of the Saturday Evening Post would be delivered at our door. I would place these magazines, still damp with the ink of presses, in a handsome canvas bag, sling it over my shoulder, and set forth through the streets to bring the best in journalism, fiction, and cartoons to the American public. He had brought the canvas bag with him. He presented it with reverence fit for a religious object. He showed me how to drape the sling over my left shoulder and cross the chest so that the pouch lay easily accessible to my right hand, allowing the best in journalism, fiction, and cartoons to be swiftly extracted and sold to a citizenry whose happiness and security depended upon us soldiers of the free press. The following Tuesday I raced home from school, put the bag over my shoulder, dumped the magazines in, and, tilting to the left to balance their weight on my right hip, embarked on the highway of journalism.